Welcome to Genesis Church. We are a church where everyone's welcome, nobody's perfect, and anything is possible. We hope this message helps you take your next step with Jesus. To connect, give, or share, visit our website at genesisal.com. Enjoy the message.
Well, welcome home. We are so glad that you're here today. If you're new here with us, maybe a friend or a family member or a coworker, a neighbor invited you, and you're wondering what type of church this is, well, we're a church where everyone's welcome because nobody's perfect and anything's possible. We haven't done this in a little while, and so I want to invite you to take a moment to look to the person who is next to you, look them in the eye, say it like you mean it. Will you simply say to them, "You are so imperfect"? Would you mind doing that for me? Every time we do that, some of you enjoy it way, way too much. We are a no perfect people allowed church. If you're perfect here, would you please leave? We don't want you to contaminate the rest of us. Church family, because every Sunday here at Genesis Church is someone's first Sunday, will you please give them a warm welcome on this January day? Will you let them know we're glad they're here? If you have a Bible with you, and whether that is NIV translation or ESV, I want to invite you to make your way over in the New Testament to Matthew chapter 4. Everything will be on the screens. You can follow along with us. If you don't have a Bible, we would be more than happy to give you one if you will visit the Next Step Center after the service. And so today is a different day, and I want to say that up front. Today is less of a sermon and far more of a vision talk. This is kind of a family moment. And so if you're joining us for the first time, this is not typically what it will look like. And if you come back next week, here's what we're doing. We are beginning a series through the letter of Romans that will take us pretty much throughout the entire year. We're breaking it up into four mini-series. And so come next week, fasten your seatbelt, bring your Bible, and get ready to grow in God's Word. But today is kind of this vision talk, and here's what I want to do. I want to share with you our revised mission statement. If you're new here with us, perfect time to be here. I want to share with you some of my own personal goals, and then some of the dreams for our church and the church that I see in the future. Now, we began this entire series, The Power of One, and we started by inviting everyone to be a part of praying one prayer. It was anchored in Psalm 139, and it began our 21 days of prayer. And the prayer was, "Lord, search me, examine me, and lead me in 2020. I just want to let you know, I've been so encouraged by hearing your responses to that time. Thank you for sharing what God is doing in your life. When God gets ready to do a great work, He always sets His people to pray. And I will always turn the dial of prayer here at our church. So if you're here and you're looking for a job, absolutely fill out a resume. You should tweak your application, but whatever you do, don't forget to pray. If you're here today and you're struggling with your marriage, get marriage and family therapy. Get the right help, but whatever you do, don't forget to pray. And so we began that way. We also invited you to step up and be engaged and serve in either a serve team or small group. You still have that opportunity today. But I was so encouraged because we had 40 people who are not currently on a serve team or small group sign up over the last 3 weeks. And so can we celebrate that, by the way? I think that's really worth celebrating. And last but not least, we invited you on a Discover Your One Word journey. I shared with you what my word is for the year. My word is content. I believe God's inviting me to be a more content husband, a content pastor, and a content father. And you'll notice on your seats, there is a one-word card. If you'll fill that out, you can turn it in at the end of the service. And I'm committed this year, once a month, to pray for our church family around their words. I have a stack of almost 150 words, and I love reading your words. Words like hope and simplicity and forgiveness, and words like allow and patience. It is beautiful to see what God's doing in our church. Now, I shared with you our word for the year as a church family is the word for. If you weren't here last week, please take a moment and listen to that message online. What does God think about when God thinks about you? There's no more important question that you can ask and answer today. And what does God think about when God thinks about you? God loves you and God is for you. And maybe you're here going, I'm not sure God is for me. Well, God sent his son for you. How do you know Jesus is for me? Well, Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead for you. How do you know really that God is for me? Well, when I read what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 8, he says, if God is for us, then who can be against us? We gave out almost 250 of those four journals. If you missed that, you'll have another opportunity coming up. We also handed out these small little bracelets that just say four. So no matter what's going on in your week, you can look down and you can ask the question, do the people who are closest to me know what I'm for? And so you can get those again in our Next Step Center. And I'm so grateful for all of you who participated on that journey. Now we turn our attention, really, to the power of one mission. And I want to do the best I can today to try to share with you a real clear mission that God has given to us as a church. And I want to start this morning by something that really shook me. I read it several years ago, but I keep coming back to it. And it simply says, if you have a why to live for, you can bear just about any how. If you have a why to live for, you can bear just about any how. When you think about our culture, you rarely walk into bookstores or see commercials that really emphasize the why. Instead, it's usually about the how. How to lose that same 10 pounds every single year. Have you noticed there's 10 pounds you lose and gain, you lose and gain, you lose and gain? How in the world do you get out of debt? How to eat the right way? How to buy a house? How to flip a house? How to raise a kid? How to flip that kid? Every single type of how you can imagine. Rarely has anyone asked you the why. So do you mind if I do that today? Maybe no one's ever asked you this. If you're married in this room, why are you married? Not how did you get married, not how did the engagement go. I'm asking you today, why are you married? If you're here and you're a parent, why in the world are you a parent? Not how did you become a parent and not how are the unique things going on in your family, but why are you a parent? If you're here today and you follow Jesus, why do you follow Jesus? And if you're not a follower of Jesus, why aren't you a follower of Jesus? And if you call this church home, why do you call this church home? Because if you have a why, you can withstand just about any how. And it got me thinking, because as a church family, we went on a journey last year as a leadership team, and we have been prayerful and persistent at processing what's our revised, clear mission statement as a church. So as long as I have the privilege of serving as your pastor, that this mission statement, if you will, aligns us, guards us, and guides us. We spent a lot of time, but here's where we were anchored. We were anchored in the life of Jesus and something he modeled for us. We couldn't get away that very early on when Jesus called his first disciples. You remember that? It's around the age of 30. And we know that Jesus begins his earthly ministry and he's going to move into the temptations in the wilderness. It's going to be a struggle for 40 days. He's going to fight against the enemy. And before he enters into that type of pressure and that type of battle, I want you to see that he moves into pressure from pleasure. At the baptism, we know that this occurred in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. A voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased." I want to let you know today that if you want to fight the battles that are going on in your life, you have to do so out of pleasure. You need to know who you are in Christ. You need to hear the words of the Father. And Jesus moves from pleasure into pressure. And then after the 40 days of temptation, he calls his first disciples. And that's found for us in Matthew chapter 4. Read with me. We'll start in verse 18 and we'll end in verse 22. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets, and at once they followed him. A little further up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing the nets, and he called them to come and to follow him. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. Now, I recognize as we approach a passage just like this, One of the things that we can do is we can make it really complex. And there are some things that would help us understand the context and therefore unlock beauty and meaning in this particular moment. I could spend the rest of our time walking you through Jewish stages of learning and talking to you about a rabbi and a Talmudim and why that is so important. And as you get that, you will understand Matthew chapter 4 in a different way. But I have noticed at times, sometimes we make things so complex and we miss something that's so simple. And there is something that we cannot miss here, and I want to draw your attention to it. We'll overlook it, but it's really, really obvious. One of the things that's so obvious is that these are men who are available. Do you know what the best kingdom characteristic is? It's availability. The best ability in the kingdom of God is availability. If you're here today and you're one of our wonderful students, the best ability in the kingdom of God is availability. If you're here today and maybe you're a working professional, the best ability in the kingdom of God is availability. If you're here today and maybe you're in the legacy stages of your life, the best ability is availability. In other words, you're not too young to make a difference for Jesus, and you're not too old to make a difference from Jesus. You might be too hurried and too busy to make a difference for Jesus. Availability is the best ability in the kingdom of God. Now, these young men, if you'll notice, were available. And one of the things that they had to do is they had to drop their nets. So many times the nets, quote unquote, that we carry, we think they are a blessing. And to be honest with you, they're a burden. You can't go to where Jesus wants to take you unless you're willing to drop some nets. Now, we notice that these two young men, and then later two other young men, they respond. And here's the thing that is so obvious. Scholars have looked at it for 2,000 years, and yet I could communicate this to my six-year-old daughter, and she would get it. Notice what Jesus says, follow me. I would argue this is the invitation that Jesus presents before these men, but it's also the invitation that Jesus presents for all of us today. This great invitation. Jesus is essentially saying, follow me and you will learn a why that matters. To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Follow me and you will know God. You will become undone by his grace. You will be healed by his mercy. You'll be captured by a vision for eternity. You'll have a hope that's stronger than death. You'll feed the hungry. You'll love the lonely and you'll serve the forgotten. With God's power, you'll change history one life at a time. Follow me. Now, we know that they did follow Jesus, that they became Jesus-obeying, Jesus-loving, Jesus-following, Jesus-centered people the rest of their lives. They'd often be confused by Jesus, but they never wanted to be away from Jesus. And they would count it a privilege not just to suffer for Jesus, but as we know, to die for Jesus. And it all starts with follow me. Follow me. Follow me. That's the call of discipleship. Here's something you may not know about me. I spent the last easily 15 years of my life trying to read every single book I can on discipleship. I have spent a tremendous amount of time with people attempting to learn about discipleship, first century context, all of these kinds of things. So much so, I've been so passionate because I believe that a difference-making church has to be a disciple-making church. A healthy church has to be a disciple-making church, that I even wrote a book on discipleship. It's been translated into Spanish. It's called Kingdom Come, A Gospel-Centered Guide to Discipleship. It's being used right now in suburban settings and urban settings and rural settings, and it was all built around this foundation of helping in a one-on-one setting people learn to follow Jesus. Now, here's something in all of the time that I've spent that I have overlooked, and I'll just be honest with you. In all of the complexity, I've overlooked the simplicity. And here's the simplicity. For us to follow Jesus, that would mean that Jesus is leading us. So we can't follow Jesus unless Jesus is leading, but here's what I missed. What I missed is in order to follow Jesus, when Jesus is leading, we have to be people who take our next step. And here's what I've learned. Every single person in this room has a next step. Every single person does. Every single person in this room has a next step with Jesus. And I know this may sound so obvious, but it's often very overlooked, especially in what we just read. And I've noticed in my own life that I overlook a lot of things that are right there in front of me. For instance, some of you know I'm someone who easily loses my keys and my phone. Anyone in here ever lose their keys and their phone? And I've shared with you a good three of us. All the rest of you, you are so responsible. Way to go, church. And so what I do typically, or I have done in the past, is I'll turn my house upside down. I'll look in the strangest place. I'll look in the refrigerator to see if my keys are in there. And I will look in drawers, I will look under my bed, and then I move into something. It's called blaming. And I say to my wife, "Where did you put my keys?" That's not a real strong marriage-building move, in case you're wondering. And my wife has said before, "You have the spiritual gift of blaming." And which I say to her, "That's not true. That's not true at all. I just have the spiritual gift of discernment, okay?" Here's what I've learned to do before I do any of that anymore. All I do now is I put my hands down, and the first place I look is in my pocket. Because most of the time, if I'm truly honest, what I'm looking for is right there in front of me. What is discipleship about? You want to make disciples? Jesus never said make converts. What is discipleship about? Discipleship is about helping or leading people to take their next step with Jesus. Now, I had this opportunity recently. I was sitting down with someone, and we were having coffee. They didn't know much about our church, and they said, "You know, can you tell me a little bit about our church?" And I said, "I would be happy to." And I reached over. I put some French vanilla creamer in my coffee because, again, that's the way Jesus would have his coffee. And I leaned forward and I shared, "Let me tell you about our church this way. First, now you need to know what our motto is. This is really about our culture. We said it early. Our motto is that everyone's welcome, nobody's perfect, and anything's possible. That's kind of our motto here. And a healthy church is a church that understands everyone's welcome and nobody's perfect. And because Jesus rose from the dead, anything's possible, and we can't lose sight of that. That's our motto. Culture eats mission and vision for breakfast. And anyone in leadership knows that. But our motivation, this is how we would say our motivation. Our motivation is for the glory of God, the joy of our church family, and the good of our very community. So why do I sing on Sunday mornings? I love all of you, but do you know why I sing on Sunday mornings? My deep motivation, it is for the sheer glory of God. Why? Because that's how we are instructed in God's word. You'll notice in God's word in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." That's our motivation. But what about our mission? You were given, whenever you came in, you sat down and there was a little napkin. At the end of this service, I'm going to ask you to use that napkin. I sat down and I pulled out a napkin and I wrote it down and I told them what I'm going to tell you, that if we can't write this on a napkin, you won't be able to remember it and you will never be able to live it. And so this is what I told them is our mission. Our mission is that we're very passionate about leading people to take their next step with Jesus, which is another way of saying we're passionate about making disciples. Now, if you were to go to Matthew chapter 28, which is commonly referred to as the Great Commission, I want you to see the movement that takes place here. This is at the very end. Jesus is commissioning his disciples. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, "Jesus came near and said to them, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe or put in practice with their life everything that I've commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always to the very end of the age.'" Do you see the movement that's there? For some people, their next step is beginning a relationship with God. Last week, we had the privilege of introducing someone for the first time to Jesus. For some, their next step is to get baptized. Some of you here in this room, that's your next step. For some, it's the next step of obedience. There's something in your life that's not in practice, but you know Jesus clearly instructed it. For some, it's the being sent. Everyone has a next step. And your next step is not greater than anyone else's. Your next step is not more superior than anyone else's. Everyone has a next step. And here at our church family, from 2020 and beyond, as long as I have the privilege of getting to serve as your pastor, I'm going to appoint you to passionately lead others to take their next step with Jesus. Now, here's what I have learned after observing. I have learned that when it comes to taking next steps with Jesus, it's a spiritual journey. And the journey typically finds its anchor in three ways: knowing, loving, or serving God. Knowing, loving, or serving God. That at the end of the day, when you're taking your next steps with Jesus, one of those steps is going to revolve around knowing, the other will be loving, and the other will be serving. And this is why, starting in February of 2020, we are going to launch what we're calling a Next Step Track to empower you to take your next step with Jesus. And it will come as no surprise that the first of those is around knowing. That God's heart for your life is to know Him. I don't mean know about Him. I mean to know Him. And the imagery that Jesus gives us in the New Testament is knowing not in a sexual sense, but in a very deep, relational, intimate sense. Do you know that God wants you to know Him? That you were created to know Him? You were made to know Him? And so this morning, I prayed a prayer for you. There's a prayer that's captured in Ephesians chapter 1. And it's a prayer that it seems like Paul continued to pray. It just says, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better." Do you pray for the people in your life that they would know God better? I prayed for you this morning as a result of being here, you would know God better. So if you're taking down notes, I encourage you to write this down. Make your spiritual life a top priority. I'm not responsible for your spiritual life. There is no pastor that is responsible for your spiritual life. Your spouse is not responsible for your spiritual life. You will stand before a holy, transcendent God, and God will ask you, "What did you do with the life I gave you?" Not "What did you do with Sean's life?" Not "What did you do with Tom's life?" "What did you do with Sarah's life?" No, "What did you do with the life I gave you?" And there is nothing that's greater than knowing Him. And I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to influence you. I'm going to do my best to passionately lead you to take your next step with Jesus, because I know how freeing and incredible it is to do life with God. And that's why in February, our Next Step class, the first one we're offering, is called Next Step 101. And we're going to offer it in February and September, and it's just around knowing, and it is around a day with God. Most of us in this room do not know how to spend a day with God. The only training that we've ever received is a devotional life or maybe a prayer. Do you know how to begin your day with God? Do you know how to go to work with God? And you may say, why one day? Because if you can learn to spend one day with God, you can learn to spend every day with God one day at a time. I can't wait for that privilege and that opportunity. It'll take place directly after the service in February. You'll hear more about that. The second area, knowing, then moves into loving. Maturity in your relationship with God comes when you start loving what God loves. And one of the things that I know without a doubt that God loves is His church. Some things may be very, very abstract. I can tell you without a doubt, God loves His church. That Jesus actually died for His church. And whenever you talk about local churches, at the end of the day, a local church is not a building, it's not a billboard, it is not some type of facility. The local church is a body of believers. It is people who have been called out to follow Jesus. That's what it is at the end of the day. And there are language around how a local church is described in Scripture. It's described as a house that God's building. And it's also described as a bride. I want you to see in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, we come across this. For husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. How did Jesus love the church? He died for the church. It says He gave up His life for her. Let me just tell you that I love all of you deeply, but I get pulled in at times in our community, not here, in conversations where people attempt to get me to say something negatively about another church. And they usually do it in a very creative way. And I choose the best I can to never, ever do that. And do you know reason why? I'm not going to talk about God's bride. I'm not going to do it. Can you imagine if you started to talk negatively about my wife, how that would impact our relationship? I would defriend you before you'd ever able to take another breath. I love you deeply, but I'm just letting you know, we will not have a deep relationship if you start talking negatively about my wife. Get this in your hearts and minds. Jesus loved his church, big C and little c, so much so that he shed blood on the cross for her. So when it comes to loving, next step 201, do you know what I want to cultivate here? I want to cultivate a heart for this house. I want to help you love what Jesus loves. We keep moving from knowing into loving and from loving into serving. Here's how the Apostle Paul put it in Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor in serving the Lord. Now, there are plenty of imageries that are attached to the New Testament that are deeply meaningful. And I've shared this with you before. If I ask you what was the image that's so deeply ingrained in your heart, you might say it's the manger because it's the birth of Jesus. And I would say that's beautiful. You might say, you know what it is? It is the cross because Jesus died for us. I would say that's incredible. You might say it's the empty tomb because without it, everything else is a waste of time. I would say that's spectacular. But I'd also say don't miss in the gospel according to John when Jesus has his last dinner with his disciples and he puts a towel on his arm and he serves. It is the ministry of the towel. And if you want to make a difference, if you want to be a part of the greater and bigger story that God has for you, if you want to follow Jesus, it will always involve serving. And so next step, 301 in April, November, will be about making a difference, about serving. And we want to help you understand what it means to actually be a blessing to others and also have the values of a disciple that makes a difference in the world and in the places that God has placed them in. Everyone has a next step. And we're passionate about leading you to take your next step with Jesus. That's what being a disciple is all about. And it's this mission that ultimately guards us, it guides us, and I want to let you know it aligns us as a church family. So much so, I want you to hear today a little bit about our student ministry and a little bit about our kids ministry. I want you to notice the alignment of mission. I want you to hear a few goals that are taking place in 2020 in those areas. So will you turn your attention to the screens and listen to what Taylor and Kathy have to share with us.
My name is Taylor Sasser and I have four students. Here at Genesis, I direct our preteens, junior high school, and college student ministries. And our mission for our student ministry is to lead students to take their next step with Jesus. And as we head into 2020, I have four goals I'd like to share with you. One, we aim to provide small group environments for our students to grow. And each week, we host junior high and preteens on Wednesday nights and high school on Thursday night. Two, we'd love to expand our student leadership team. Here in 2020, we would love to add volunteer staff for preteen, junior high, and high school, as well as student worship. Three, we'll provide large group environments for students to grow as well. And we call these nights during the year, once a month, campfire. And on these nights, students can invite friends, have fun, experience engaging teaching and passionate worship. Four, we would love to send 35 students and leaders to the Motion Student Conference on July 23rd through 25th. And here at this event, we will be able to engage with over 10,000 students and be in worship with groups like Hillsong Worship and also hear speakers like Louis Giglio. I believe this will be a life-changing trip for our students.
I am Kathy Thrift, and I am for children and families. I lead our Genesis Kids ministry here at Genesis, as well as our Genesis Kids Academy preschool program, which serves over 50 families every year. Our mission at Genesis Kids is to help children and their families take their next steps with Jesus. We have four main goals for 2020 that I'd like to share with you today. One, point your children to Jesus through the Gospel Project. The Gospel Project is a world-class curriculum that helps children see Jesus throughout every book of the Bible. Provide consistent small groups for children to grow. We host small groups in our preschool and elementary classes for our kids, and our small group leaders pray for these children. They lead them, they send them postcards and more. Three, unleash our amazing leadership team. Everyone who serves in children's ministry here at Genesis has a background check and is thoroughly trained. And this year for 2020, we have three amazing new team members leading. That would be Michelle McKee, and she leads elementary. Miss Cindy Rice is heading up our preschool team, and Christina Gregory is leading our nursery. And four, make memories with our church. We'll host several opportunities for families and children to come together and make memories. We'll host a family movie night in May. We'll have the back to school bash in August, and we have a few other things planned. Thank you for investing your resources, your prayers, and your support to make a difference in the next generation here at Genesis.
Let's give it up for Taylor and Kathy. I love them so much. So whether it's students or children, small group leaders or serve team leaders, whether it's someone on the prayer team or someone who's standing on this stage, we are passionate about leading you and helping you to take your next step with Jesus. Now, they shared a few of their goals, and I want to take a moment, very briefly, I want to share with you a few of my goals, four of them, and some projects we'll be working on, and also, I want to share with you some dreams, and lastly, what I see. I will be here for another hour, so I'm just kidding, it won't take that long, but I want to make sure to share this with you. So, these are not all the goals by any means, but I thought I'd share with you four goals for 2020, for me personally. I want to align our entire church around one mission, and you've heard that mission today. I want to launch a next step track that equips and empowers us to live out that mission. I want to increase the depth of our spiritual leadership in our church by training new elders and equipping and encouraging our staff. You'll hear more about that in the coming weeks. I want to passionately teach our church God's word. We're going to go through the letter of Romans, broke up into four series, and directly after Easter, we'll pause and take time for a series called Jesus Never Said That, and then we'll end the year in an Advent series. Now, what are four projects for 2020? There are plenty of projects, but these are just a few. And before I even share them, I just want to let you know, we have a facilities team that is absolutely amazing. I know several of them are here. They were working all week long. Thank you so much to our facility team that serves this church. We love you. We're so grateful for you. So the four projects that we have: establish outdoor lighting. If you've been here in the evenings at all with our students or otherwise, you know that it's not safe, and we want to make it safe for everyone. Number two, we want to improve our sound experience. We have some still things that we're looking to do in our facility to make our sound experience even better, and I'm so grateful for the team that's working diligently on that. We want to remodel and refresh our Genesis Kids spaces, and there has been a lot of progress already made in January. And we want to repave our outside parking lot because we really sense that we are stewarding something here. In case you don't know, the building that you're in is completely debt-free, and we want to steward it for God's glory, your joy, and the very good of this community. Now, four dreams that are not for 2020, but they really are for 2025. That over the next 5 years, these are things that I've been praying about. These are things that I've been exploring. People ask me, what do you dream about? Well, here's just a few things that I've been dreaming about. I've been dreaming that we are a church family by 2025 that's over 500 people, made up of 40 small groups and serve teams, with a fully supported staff who has the privilege of seeing 100 salvations, 100 baptisms, 500 people who went through our Next Step track, and $200,000 invested into local, regional, and global missions. I have a dream that we are a part of planting or replanting 7 churches in the Southeast and launching 1 campus in Baldwin County. I don't know the time. I don't know where it'll be, but I am dreaming about this. By the way, you're going to hear more about this on February the 16th. We will be a part. We have been praying about this. You have given toward this. In the summer, you'll hear from the pastor, Morgan Jones. We are launching out a church in the Southeast called Mosaic Chapel. They will be launching on February the 16th, and I cannot wait to introduce you more. Not only on February the 16th, but on February the 9th, Ben Nelson is launching a church with the Alliance called Collectivist, and they are launching in Calera. These are 2 churches that we have the privilege of supporting, encouraging, praying for. You're going to get to meet and hear these pastors this year, and I'm so encouraged by what God is already doing. Number 3, that everyone in our church either goes on a missions trip or gives to cover the cost of someone going on a mission trip at least once in 5 years. This summer, you'll have the opportunity to go to Honduras. We're working so that you would have the opportunity in an area of Georgia that is the most diverse area of Georgia, not just Georgia, in the United States, most diverse square mile in the United States. We're looking to do a short-term missions trip there and another short-term missions trip to one other location. We want everyone who calls this place home once in 5 years go on a missions trip or fully support someone who goes on a missions trip. And number 4, that we establish a house of hope that allows us to serve missionaries and provide license in marriage and family therapy to our community. Some of you know we have a house on this property. Over the last several months, we invited the city of Gulf Shores to look at that house because it's abandoned. We have a total of almost 8 acres. They said we can't use that house. And so we're dreaming of a particular space that we could create separate from this building that allows for safe, intentional marriage and family therapy and also provides space for missionaries and nonprofit folks. We're 4 miles from the beach to get rest. Now, we've done some research on that. It looks like it'll only cost $150,000. So if anyone wants to write a check for that today, I want to go ahead and say thank you. Last but not least, can I just share with you for a brief moment what I see, and we'll be finished. Last week, we celebrated the life and legacy of Martin Luther King Jr., who I love deeply, and I'm so grateful because my kid has a different future because of his sacrifice. I'm so grateful for that. Well, you may not know, on the famous speech, I Have a Dream speech, he didn't have that written down, but Mahalia Jackson was in earshot of him, and she kept saying to Martin, tell them about your dream. And so in a spontaneous way, he did. It lasted for 17 minutes, and our world has never been the same. And so as we end today, let me just share with you about the church I see going forward. I see a church where everyone's welcome, nobody's perfect, and anything's possible. I see a church that empowers all ages, stages, and generations to be equipped and unleashed to build the kingdom of God right where God has placed them. I see a church that's big enough to reach the world and small enough to call home. I see a church that's committed to investing in the next generation, that has a world-class children and student ministry and invites the next generation to follow Jesus now, not just later. I see a church where marriages and families thrive, individuals come alive in who God has created them to be. I see a church that is built by Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and fueled by the bold prayers of God's people. I see a church that unleashes generosity locally, regionally, and globally to take all of Jesus to all of the world. I see a church that is gospel-driven, that loves God and loves God's word. I see a church that never, ever, ever loses sight of God's heart for people. I see a church that's motivated by the glory of God, the joy of others, and the good of the community. I see a church that passionately leads people to take their next step with Jesus. Helen Keller said, "The only thing worse than being born blind is having sight but not having vision." And at this church, by God's grace, we will be a church that has the very vision of Jesus for our community and world. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this group of people that are gathered here. I thank you for those that will come after them. We want to be a healthy, difference-making, disciple-making church. And we know that you give us everything we need to succeed at the mission you've called us to. And I pray for our church family right now, because we've talked about some general things, but in their own lives specifically, you know where it is that they need to take their next step. And some are here today, and their next step is getting engaged in serving. Some, their next step is trusting you for the first time, or the first time in a long time. Some have been following you for a while and have never been baptized. Some, you put a neighbor or coworker or family member in their life and they've been so scared to boldly proclaim the gospel. Lord, wherever their next step may be, through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the love and encouragement of God's people, the authority of God's word, may you help them take their next step. And we thank you for this church, because at the end of the day, it's your church. You build it, and we'll be a part of your greater story. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.